Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Digital Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Eli Adams. Today's episode is brought to you by FireUsMarketing.com, where SEO solutions pave the way to digital excellence. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode where we are joined by Del Hudman. Del has over 24 years of experience in the e-commerce and digital marketing industry, helping brands relaunch their direct-to-consumer e-commerce channels on a global scale, expanding into e-tail marketplaces, and defining and executing digital marketing strategies that have resulted in massively viral and profitable results. One such example is her effort in devising the Stanley Tumblr viral marketing campaign that has generated over 2.3 billion views across social media and put over 150,000 on the waiting list back in 2022. Her background also includes building comprehensive digital marketing strategies and omni-channel experiences focused on the consumer with a mobile-first mindset, leading to successful engagement and profitable growth for brands such as Filson and Zumiez and Nestle Health Science. She did all of this while teaching digital marketing professionals at the University of Washington. She is also a mom of an amazing teenage boy. Welcome to the show, Del.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk. There's quite a bit in that bio that I really want to dig into when we get to some of that tactical stuff. Welcome to the show. At the Digital Revolution Podcast, we talk a lot about, you know, where we come from, how we go from where we come from to where we're at now. And why don't we start there? So where are you from? Where'd you grow up? What'd you want to be when you were little? And how'd you go from that to where you're at now?
Yeah, so I was born in Idaho. Raised in Olympia, Washington, and ended up graduating high school early. And my parents, my stepmom, encouraged me to go to college. I had no clue what I wanted to do. Everything from being a, you know, forestry to interior designer. I spent my first 2 years just kind of exploring. And this amazing thing came along called the internet. And I had the opportunity in the late 90s to go help be part of the original Eddie Bauer e-commerce team.
Wow.
So what do you do? Take a gamble or finish your last year of college? And I took a gamble. And it's paid off very well for the last 23, 24 years of my experience of my professional life.
So that's awesome. So, you moved to Oregon. You're born in Idaho. You moved to Oregon and you spent most of your childhood in Oregon?
No, I spent most of it in Olympia, Washington.
Oh, Washington.
But I did live in Oregon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did live in Oregon for a short stint.
Okay. And so now you're in Washington and you're growing up thinking maybe being an interior designer. Obviously, there's some outdoor influence there in Washington, lots of outdoor stuff going on and stuff. So. So then in high school, did you know about digital? Was that still like not a thing, like until college?
Yeah, I actually graduated in the early 90s.
Okay.
So the really pre-internet, pre-digital, you know, pre-econ. At that time, I was studying a lot of calculus. I don't recommend anyone living through calculus 3 unless you're going to be an engineer.
Yeah. So what were you going to college for then? Was it to be an engineer?
Engineering was on the list.
Okay.
Interior design was on the list. I couldn't quite make up my mind.
Yeah.
Architecture was there at one point. And I ended up getting a call from a company asking for a summer intern doing email marketing and ended up getting an offer to come work at Zumiez as a data analyst for their e-commerce team. So I was one of the first two analysts for e-com for eddiebauer.com.
Wow. Okay. So Eddie Bauer was the first thing that you did.
Yeah.
Like you just jumped straight in. And did they have e-commerce yet? Or was this you jumping in saying, let's get it and figure it out?
It was a very small e-commerce team.
Okay.
I was brought in to handle analytics, general reporting, and their usability team.
Mm-hmm.
So really focused on the consumer. Actually, my name has been published in a book back in 1994. Four-ish.
Okay.
On usability. Yeah, and analytics.
What book is it?
I honestly don't remember.
We're going to have to go and Google it. We're going to go find it. That's interesting so you're almost done with college and you decide to take this chance that inevitably was one of those pivot points that changed your life.
Correct.
So I had a similar one. It didn't get me into digital, but I was in a similar situation where I was going to college and I had an offer for another position. It was in retail management. And I kind of thought, like, I was going to school to be a Spanish teacher. And I was like, okay, so in Utah at that time, Spanish teacher started at $27,000 a year. And I was like, okay, or I can jump into this retail management at $40,000 a year. And I was like, yeah, let's do that. And so I did that. And inevitably, that was a road that led me to where I'm at now. So I'm grateful that I did that. And I'm sure that you are too, right?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely gone back, you know, and got my degree. I had the opportunity to teach at the University of Washington.
Yeah.
So I always tell my son, you never know where life is going to take you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't stop, think, and go on an adventure every once in a while, you might miss the wrong turn.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's walk us through your time at Eddie Bauer and some of the companies you've worked for. You started out with email marketing. Did you expand at that company to learn more, or did you grow into other positions with different companies?
Yeah, so I did a little email for that firm and went to Eddie Bauer to do analytics. I had the opportunity. My ex-husband was relocated down to Los Angeles, and I had the opportunity to go work for the Wedding Channel, overseeing their usability analytics. This new thing called Google SEO came out around that time. Helping with their CRM program and was down there for a little while. But honestly, Washington, we missed it.
Mm-hmm.
You really missed Washington. Los Angeles just was not for us. And my old crew from Eddie Bauer said, why don't you come on back up? Where a lot of us are at classmates. Mm-hmm. And come be part of the email program and help run that, which was a huge, you know, their main revenue was from email. And ended up overseeing the email division before I left. And really kind of to get more into digital marketing. So now I've got SEO behind me.
Yeah.
I've got email. I've got data and analytics. And I'm always looking to grow. And so when opportunities arose, such as, you know, doing digital marketing from advertising, I took it.
So where did you go from there then?
From there, I went to a failed startup. I think we've all have those in our career.
Absolutely, yeah.
It was also around 2008, and we all remember what happened in 2008.
Tell me some of the big lessons you learned from that.
TV's not my thing.
Okay.
I don't understand brand marketing. I leave it up to the brand experts.
Mm-hmm.
My skill set and what I love to do is lower funnel, mid funnel. I can't tell you what color car just drove by.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the concept of brand marketing just doesn't connect in my brain.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing I learned is I'm not a brand marketer. And, you know, when you do brand marketing, it's really hard to justify the results. It's essential. Every brand needs to have it, right? But the question is, how do you justify those results? And as a digital marketer, I like to live down into the mid to lower funnels where I can, you know, understand CAC and ROAS and LTV and all those fun metrics when it comes to attribution and so forth.
Yeah, I was actually having a conversation with a friend about this the other day where, you know, there's the new term out, and I don't really know how new it is, but it seems kind of new with growth marketing is the term.
Yeah.
And his assumption is that growth marketing is something that can be tied to revenue, right? And there's PR, you know, and PR almost can't be, right? It's and brand marketing and PR, it depends on what type of PR, but brand marketing is like really almost above the funnel. Where you really can't tie it to an ROI. And I'm in the same boat. I love the stuff that you can say, I did this and we got this. So I empathize with that. I'm in the same situation. I like that.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is how the PR industry has changed. A lot of businesses and marketers, marketers are doing it, but a lot of businesses, especially new ones to the field, aren't leveraging an affiliate link to help with their PR.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times you'll have a PR article that gets picked up and it's easy to go reach out to that company and say, thank you. Here's an affiliate link to get 10% commission on anyone who comes back through and gets sales from us. It's a really fun little tactic that a lot of companies don't even use.
That's smart. I mean, just so all the listeners know, if you're in PR, we know that it's important. We're not saying it's not important, right? Brand marketing, PR, it's all important. And they do have their place. I think it's harder for startups and smaller companies to work on brand when they only have a certain amount of marketing budget. You know, if you had to choose between getting conversion friendly ads out there versus like high level, get to know my name as a smaller company, a lot of times they lean more towards the ROI based marketing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both are important, all important in the whole scheme of things in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Where'd you go from there?
I ended up helping out some friends. 2008 hit. Mm-hmm. A lot of us got laid off. Mm-hmm. And had my own consulting company. That's what actually started me.
Oh, nice.
With my own consulting company that I've had ever since. And I still help clients today.
Yeah.
But basically, I had the opportunity to go over to Zoomies. And if anyone doesn't know who Zoomies is, it's a really fun company to market with. I was on their e-commerce team. Mm-hmm. We actually sat in the distribution center. We were that small and that young, really trying to bring them together in an omni-channel world. Mm-hmm. Not fractured anymore from e-commerce to retail stores. How do you merge those two together with the customer?
Yeah.
But what was fun working on their marketing for digital was you're marketing to teenagers like my son, mm-hmm. right? He wants trend. He doesn't want trend. He wants swimming. You know, he likes this. He wants F1 stuff or he wants skateboard stuff.
Yeah.
But he has no money.
Right.
So how do you market to the teen, but also market to the parents who are actually, you know, buying the items or giving the teenager money mm-hmm. to go buy those items? So really two diverse segments that you had to get your head around
yeah.
and talk to in a different way. But integrated marketing together.
So how did you find success in that area then?
We found success by actually creating parent accounts. We found success by, you know, really empowering the store owners to get together with the teens. I don't know if you've ever seen a Zoomies, but they're by the food court.
Yeah.
That's the reason why.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So really, you know, that's when we could cookie parents' machine.
Yeah.
The kid comes online. He finds his item. She finds her item. And then all of a sudden we can start following the parents around with suggestive advertising around, hey, you know, these are some skateboards, you know, that just start popping up
yeah.
in your thing. Or here's some snowboards. Snow season's coming up. Do y'all like to snowboard together as a family?
Mm-hmm.
Type of ads.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know, we don't have to talk about it now, maybe in the tactical section, but I'm curious to know that worked and it's worked for quite some time to cookie people, right? Now that cookies are kind of going away and privacy is more difficult, do you have strategies on how to adjust?
Oh, no. I think we're all learning that,
yeah.
Trying to understand that model, you know, experience
yeah.
is important. Understanding your consumers is really important. You know, look at what Google did last March with adding the EEE
mm-hmm.
to the algorithm of, you know, SEO.
Yeah.
So how do you turn that around and really start to meet and reach your audiences?
Mm-hmm.
It's very challenging, especially with what AI is doing
mm-hmm.
and where things are going.
Do you have any fun campaigns from Zoomies that you can remember that you don't want to talk about?
Oh, honestly, no.
Okay.
I think, you know, I think there was a lot more fun. I spent a little bit of time in an agency. I handled 15, you know, different clients, including the Space Needle, Seattle Times,
oh, wow.
A high-end designer purse company.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, I'd have some more fun at Filson, talking more about Filson and what we did there,
okay.
as well as, you know, my recent life.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So Filson, have you ever heard of Filson?
Mm-mm, I haven't.
It is a Seattle brand.
Okay.
They will hate me for saying this, but the Seattle Times wrote them up as a lumber sexual company.
Hmm.
So think flannel.
Okay.
Think ranchers,
yeah.
think hipsters, think high-end price point, you know, $200 flannel shirt.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, $600 jackets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So very Seattle-esque
yeah.
in that look. And that was really challenging because how do you market to a consumer and convince them to spend $200 on a shirt?
Yeah.
Much different marketing strategy than, say, a $40 water tumbler. Much different marketing strategy, many more touch points.
Mm-hmm.
Attribution is key there. And I would say to any company out there, any business that's getting started, choose your digital channels.
Okay.
Look at your price point, look at who you want to go after, and choose your digital channels. You know, everyone talks about influencers.
Mm-hmm.
They work. Believe me, they work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to convince somebody on social to drop $200 instantly.
Yeah.
Than to drop 40.
So what channels would you recommend for a higher priced item like that?
A higher priced item, definitely social commerce
mm-hmm.
is important. A lot of people haven't fully taken advantage of social commerce yet.
Mm-hmm.
Shopping ads. Honestly, connected TV does work. People don't stop and think about that.
Yeah.
And you can target and get a return on ad spend around what you put your settings on.
Oh, wow.
So higher end brands, you know, connected TV, Hulu, Peacock, all of it. Amazon's going for ads.
Yeah.
And you can create those ads, you know, and put targeting around them.
Okay. Is that something that most people could do on their own? If I'm a business owner, is that something I'm like, oh, I can do this? Or is it usually something that I would hire out?
It's something you could do on your own, depending on how you want, how deep you want to get into it. Mm-hmm. There's a company out of California, I believe, called The Mountain, which is more of a self-serve platform. But yeah, highly recommend, you know, figure out what you want to do. Again, back to choosing your verticals. Mm-hmm. You can't do everything. So start with the foundation. You need to have a good core SEO. And if you're local services, you need to have a local SEO mm-hmm. on there. Not general SEO.
Yeah.
You don't want to show up in Brisbane, Australia, or London, or wherever. Also, make sure your email marketing is intact. Mm-hmm. You know, retention is key. SMS. A lot of companies aren't even testing SMS.
Yeah.
And that's important too. Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the new 2024 tactics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are you working on now that excites you?
I am actually helping out a company relaunch their local SEO.
Okay.
That really excites me. Really retargeting where they want to be in the Seattle metro region.
Mm-hmm.
That's through my own consulting company. I'm also working at a very large telecom, helping them increase their conversion rate and get customers to self-serve, reducing costs.
So let's dig into that a little bit more. What does that mean?
What does that mean? It means that if I can give you a way to solve your problem immediately,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be happy. Right? You don't have to go talk to a customer service rep.
Yeah.
I've also reduced the cost associated with contacting a rep mm-hmm. in person, and you get your problem solved like that.
Is that an online problem, or is it, what kind of problem are we solving with this?
Can't go into a lot of detail.
Okay.
But basically, the problems are like, I need to pay a bill.
Okay.
Right. I need to change my password. These are things that, you know, are really simple.
Yeah.
These are high level, you know, comments, but there's other things too that I'm working on.
Okay. Let's dive into the tactical stuff then. So if I'm a business owner out there, I mean, it seems like your experience across the board. So local SEO, national SEO, e-commerce. Let's just say that I'm an e-commerce brand and I'm watching this podcast and I'm like, I need some tips. Like, I can't quite afford to hire somebody in-house. I don't know the right questions to ask to hire an agency. What advice do you have for me to help elevate myself online?
Oh, you're talking my favorite world. I would go back to an e-commerce brand in a heartbeat. It's my favorite way to play. I love a good go-to-market calendar.
Nice.
I love a good holiday strategy.
Yeah.
So I would tell that company is... you know, there's a lot of things, but integrated marketing is essential. What is your go-to-market plan and have it rolling for 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
You can sit down every quarter and change it, but you need to have a 12-month calendar and you need to look at seasonality,
mm-hmm.
right? Christmas actually starts on October 15th.
Mm-hmm.
I know consumers are like, no, but there's a reason why. And look, I think this year is a short year. So you have a shorter window
mm-hmm.
of shopping coming up to reach those. So roll out your calendar.
Okay.
Based off of your campaigns for seasonality, then bring all your groups together. So everyone from social needs to be on board mm-hmm. in alignment with that go-to-market calendar and fit within that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Your paid social team and your organic social team. A lot of people don't realize they're two separate groups
mm-hmm.
and they have two separate measurements.
Yeah.
Your digital marketing, you know, your shopping campaigns. For e-commerce companies, shopping campaigns are crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And social commerce is crucial, right? Those are two areas that you'll get big wins right away.
So let me dig into that a little bit. So most people who I talk to, most new clients, they wouldn't understand what that means. Maybe let's talk about a little bit more of like, what is or how do I set up a shopping campaign?
Yeah. So that would be in your Google Ads platform,
okay.
right? And they've moved it over to Performance Max. You need a feed. Your e-commerce feed coming out of your technology platform, whether it's Shopify, mm-hmm. WordPress, Magento, that feeds into your ad campaign.
Okay.
And you can actually slice it up to say, I want this campaign focused on shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I want this campaign focused on men's clothing. I want this campaign focused on summer clothes, right? Mm-hmm. So you can create your campaigns along those way. Also, social commerce. You can take that same exact feed and drop it over in TikTok.
Okay.
Drop it in Instagram. And there's the way to have consumers not even leave the platform and buy directly through the platform, mm-hmm. and or they do leave the platform and come over to you to make their purchase. I even have a friend who's actually created a way that a text message comes across your phone. And you're probably aware that, you know, most people take them to the website. Mm-hmm. No, my friend, she actually clicked the text link of the item that you want and you buy it right there in text.
Oh, wow.
You never even go to the phone.
It does just like an in-browser in the text app.
Correct.
That's awesome.
And just click the link and it connects to your pay, your Apple Pay, and purchase.
That's awesome. I'm a big proponent of meeting the shoppers where they are. I think that it started to happen in 2022. It's going to be huge in 2024. People don't want to bounce from where they're at to another website that they might not trust. And they want to stay where they're at. So if you can put that feed into TikTok or into Instagram, a bigger company that you know you can trust, you click buy, it all happens right there. Like I just bought something on TikTok last week and it was so seamless, so easy. Didn't have to go anywhere. Like if it's not on Amazon or one of the other major platforms, I think people have a lot of trust issues, right? So if
they do.
So if you're a company out there and you don't have a way to do that, you need to figure that out. The shopping feeds that you're talking about, the shopping ads, just so everyone's really clear on that, it's when you go to Google and you type in shoes or whatever, right? At the top, there's a carousel and it's got a bunch of shoes. It says Walmart's got shoes and Target's got shoes and my company has shoes, right? So those are the ads that you're talking about on Google, right?
Correct. Those are like trying to acquire new customers, but you can always use those same ads if they visited your item too.
Okay.
So there's two ways to use those, you know, shopping campaigns.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. What else? What else do you recommend?
Oh, let's see. Email campaigns that are alignment with your go-to-market strategy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's say we're talking holiday. You've got your gift guide up. You're going to start talking about, you know, gifts for him, gifts for her. Mm-hmm. We'll keep it really simple. Or gifts for the outdoor enthusiasts. You know, you're talking about those on a weekly basis through your email marketing campaigns, through your SMS. Yeah. Having it in alignment, right, with your shopping ads, mm-hmm. with your search ads too. You know, paid search is still out there. Mm-hmm. But what's really interesting about paid search is you need to stop. And Google's changing how they work and how it performs. They're more becoming a dialogue search. You see those how-to articles all the time. You can actually, in Google, ask Google a follow-up question. So they're using AI to really kind of change your search experience in that. So like to your point earlier, they're moving away from cookies and they're moving more towards experience and behavior. But definitely recommend that paid social. Mm-hmm. You can actually do some great things with paid social. Again, targeting other things. Maybe you've got a huge female consumer who lives in a certain area. Maybe you need to target Hobby Lobby and Joann's and Michael's because of their behavior. So don't be afraid not to just base your paid social targeting on the person, but on their behaviors.
So explain how paid social is different than social commerce.
Okay. Paid social is more about targeting your audience, you know, your timing, who you're going after. Paid social is more about targeting based off of interests or items visited, right? Or even remarketing off of those items visited. So one, you're serving up product ads, and the other one, you're telling a story. Mm-hmm. Different types of stories through the different type of ad formats you have the option to choose from. Great place to do your marketing campaigns, like with your gift guide. You just set them all up, you know, and you just tell that holiday story throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
Versus showing a pair of shoes.
That makes sense. Okay. So that covers a little bit of e-commerce. What if I'm like a local shop, a mom and pop shop? What do you recommend for me to sort of help myself online?
Online, make sure that you're using your local ads. Make sure you've got your ads targeted down to local. I saw a company the other day that actually was showing up in Chicago, but they're a local company, a little local bookstore. Not really great for that foot traffic type of thing. Take advantage of your, you know, shop local days and holiday. This is going to be a tangent, but the bookstore had the best promotion that I've ever seen for shop local. And I know this is a complete tangent, but they wrapped a bunch of books wrote the topic, fiction, romance, whatever, on the outside. And when we bought a book, their marketing campaign was blind date with a book. So you could walk over, pick up a book, and you got a blind date with a book. Yeah. So get creative. Yeah. You know, you've got local traffic walking in. How do you get creative with that? Because I went all over social media after I walked into that bookstore, and I just had to share out that brilliant campaign. I mean, that idea was just amazing.
Yeah.
So they got the reach, you know, from me in my local area, talking to my local friends. Hey, come on over.
Yeah.
You know, this is an amazing thing that they're doing.
Nice. So speaking of campaigns, I forgot to bring this up in the last section, but I want you to sort of walk us through the Stanley Cup stuff. Like, tell me that whole story. That's pretty amazing. And I don't want to gloss over it because it's pretty big. And I think most people listening know what Stanley Cup is, and we're probably looped into that campaign.
Yeah, that was a really fun one. I will share what I can share.
Yeah.
I actually had the opportunity to speak about influencer and affiliate marketing last year at Etel West.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Just about, you know, knowing your audience, right? When it comes to influencer and affiliate marketing, use your micro influencers, right? Think about your return on ad spend and your ROI. Mm-hmm. How do you want to pay those influencers? And think about their partners, who you want to partner with.
Yeah.
So that one was a lot of fun. It was like in the pandemic, things were changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my team got to sit down with an influencer who said, you know, this is going to be huge. And we're like, okay, let's do this. Let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we learned quickly that we had to replatform.
Okay.
I will tell everybody who wants to do anything in social and you want to have, you need a plan for the future, right? You need to have a stable tech stack, no matter who you are. That is essential. And you need a plan for growth, right? And putting that in place first needs to happen before you do any marketing campaign. And I would say to any business, you know, whether you're going into social or just running your daily operations, your tech stack and your marketing stack need to work together. And you need to think, what happens in 2 years from now?
So did you replatform to Shopify?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we replatformed to Shopify. I love Shopify. I actually have my own dropship company too. With a little side hustle on Shopify. And I really, really enjoy, you know, working in Shopify.
What else can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So and the other thing I would tell any company, whenever you put together a marketing campaign, think about your upstream and your downstream, right?
Meaning what?
If something goes viral, you need to have that staff or customer service set up to answer any questions they have, because they're not going to come back and buy again if they're not getting what they need, right? Their questions aren't being answered for days.
Yeah.
AI chatbot on the website. These are downstream things you need to think about when you launch a marketing campaign.
Okay.
Upstream, fulfillment, distribution. How do I get those items to where my distribution center is?
Yeah.
So finance. How is it going to impact finance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a rush of sales coming through. So these are things that businesses need to think about. They just don't need to think about their marketing campaign. They need to think about e-commerce touches every division in the company.
Yeah.
So we sat down with this lovely little influencer. I love them a lot. And we said, okay, let's do this. Let's do this campaign. And we launched the campaign, not realizing how fast it was going to sell to their audience. But we chose the right partner, right? You have to choose the right partner. We chose the right partner. So we said, okay, we can do this. Let's do this again.
Mm-hmm.
But where it got fun, and I've done this at Biltson and other companies, is collect the customers who can't get your items if they're out of stock. I'm not talking viral, just viral. I'm talking, I have a t-shirt. It's gone out of stock.
Mm-hmm.
I still want that t-shirt. I will give you my email address or my phone number to text me or email me when it comes back in stock. My teenager is the perfect example. You don't know how many F1 items I get requested from me that are out of stock, you know, whether it's like a Mercedes cap or whatever. And as a parent, I sign up and voila, I get notified that it's back in stock. So any e-commerce company, you should have a back in stock component on your website.
So it was just one influencer. It wasn't like you went out and got 100 influencers. You had one influencer that started this whole thing.
To start, yeah, we had one influencer. Wow. But we also had the opportunity to invite people in. We like every company, mm-hmm. You have an influencer network where people could pick up links.
Yeah.
You know, one influencer posts it. Another influencer likes the idea. They're going to test it. And if they test it and they're getting paid, because influencers get paid, mm-hmm. we all know that's what they do.
Yeah.
If they naturally pick up a link and make money off of it, they're going to continue to promote your product,
yeah.
whether it's a viral phenomenon or just a basic everyday item.
Yeah.
That's how they make their money. That's their livelihood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let me walk through this then. So you got an influencer. You made sure that you had mm-hmm. affiliate links for other influencers who saw it. You had your upstream and your downstream, which is like chatbots and customer service, as well as fulfillment. You looped in finance. Every team in the company was aligned. So when you launched this, did you think this is going to be crazy? This is going to be great? Or were you like, let's see how it goes and cross yes. your fingers? Or
well, that time we didn't have chatbots. We just had our customer service team mm-hmm. and it grew. I mean, it really started to grow. And that's when we knew we were onto something.
Yeah.
But we just didn't create our marketing campaign and leave it stagnant. And we launched every time that way.
Mm-hmm.
We tested and learned, right? It's okay to fail.
Yeah.
It's okay to fail. We all do it. But what you learn from those failures and how you apply it differently the next time or apply something new is what's brilliant about a marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a living organism. So, you know, every time we launched, we added a new component. You know, something different, maybe a countdown clock, mm-hmm. maybe a contest
mm-hmm.
to share your UGC to win something,
yeah.
you know, think about that. If you can get a customer to share on social media, how many people do you know that you're sharing that information with?
Yeah. So how long was that product around before you launched the campaign, and how many campaigns did you have to go through before it finally took off?
That product was scheduled to be end of life.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it had been around for a while.
My channel was the only channel selling it.
Okay.
So it was scheduled to be end of life. And that one influencer said, no, you've got something here, you know, pretty special. And we listened and we're grateful. I'm grateful to be able to be part of that group.
Yeah.
You know? It was a lot of fun seeing it take off, and every campaign things got a little bit more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Again, test and learn, adding something new, trying, you know, keeping channels on hold
mm-hmm.
that you don't need to spend money on. Don't launch them, right?
Yeah.
If you're doing really well over here and you don't need them right yet,
mm-hmm.
just hold on to them, right?
Yeah.
Keep them in your long-term marketing plans, but you don't have to do everything at once.
Yeah.
So, but it got more exciting every single time we launched. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I bet the majority of your sales came from Utah moms.
At first they did.
Yep. Yes. There is a stigma here in Utah. People make fun of Utah moms, and they always have a Stanley mug.
Yeah.
We have them in our house. I know a lot of my team, in my last job, they also, when the sale came out, everybody was hovered around the computer and they're like, okay, buy me 12, buy me 20. And then they would take them and they had put them back online and they would sell them for almost double. I know some people were selling them for like $80 to $100, and which was good for them too.
There was a Facebook group selling them for just shy of $1,000.
Oh my goodness.
So remember when PlayStation was coming out and everyone was selling those for $1,000?
Yeah, that was competing.
There was a Stanley Tumblr group that was doing the same thing. It was crazy. I remember like standing in line for my second COVID shot on the phone because I'd gotten into the PlayStation sweepstakes, you know, and looking at my Facebook, you know, social group, this hidden, you know, group. And I'm like, they're both selling for $1,000.
That's crazy. Have you seen some of the memes or some of the videos where people like make big, huge buckets and they're like, I got my Stanley.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I know you also have some international experience, right?
Correct.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Where'd you get that experience, and what was that like?
Yeah. So I would say, I had two places. I've had international experience. Mm-hmm. And I would say probably I've launched into Canada,
mm-hmm.
you know, built a website and launched into Canada. and understanding regulations there when it comes to languages, mm-hmm. you know, French and English, you know, are really important translation requirements. I think the funnest one was probably at Filton when we had this little retail store and we heard this thing called Brexit going on.
Yeah.
And you know, you're serving, you've got store, you don't have stores in Europe, but your e-commerce sales go to Europe, mm-hmm. Germany and whatnot. But then England, what do you do with England over here? We ended up taking that store and turning it into a fulfillment center. What's brilliant about that is when you take that store and you turn it into a fulfillment center, you can actually get the product out quicker to the customer, reduced shipping costs, increased margins, and a better P&L.
Wow.
So that's something for retailers to think about too, is how do you turn your stores into mini distribution centers? Mm-hmm. Again, to your point earlier, meet the customer where it is.
Yeah.
And you might get some store pushback from retail managers saying, but what about returns? And I'd say to them, to that store manager, what I would say to them is, you have the customer standing in front of you. Mm-hmm. Have a dialogue with them. Build some brand affinity.
Yeah.
Maybe sell them something else.
I think it's very important for business owners to be flexible enough to pivot, right? I don't think too many business owners, like they, especially if you're an owner and it's like your baby and you built it, like if you're not looking for those opportunities like that to adjust and pivot, they're going to pass you by. So I think that's a good point. I think more business owners need to be willing to do that, cuz that's usually where the money is. You got to listen to your audience. You need to pivot and go where your audience is.
Correct. E-commerce is an and, it's not an or.
Yeah.
Direct to consumer is an and, not an or.
Where do you see the future of digital going?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm learning a lot from my teenager, learning a lot from that generation, right? Mm-hmm. That generation is very experience driven. How many times do you talk to a kid? They're not product driven.
Right.
They're not like, I want this item. Well, sometimes they're product driven, but it's about the experience,
yeah.
right? So how do you incorporate experience mm-hmm. into digital marketing, into your website, into your retail experience, right? Mm-hmm. We're not like the millennials, you know, who follow an item, right? We're not like Xers who went for brands. We're not like the, you know, my parents who, you know, had to have a different way
yeah.
to market. You really need to understand how they're changing. I know this is another tangent, but think about that generation when it comes to experiences. They are digital natives.
Yep.
But we, and the millennials and the Xers, were digital pioneers.
Yep.
Think of how often we say, oh my God, look at this new app, or ooh, look at that new feature, mm-hmm. right? We helped create those. My child is like, no biggie. Yeah. So the question is, how do you market to a digital native now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how marketing is going to change around that, because they're driving the changes in marketing because they're natives.
Yeah. And a lot of that, I think, is it does revolve around, again, circling back to the as a company, you should be where they are instead of bringing them to you.
Yep.
And most of them don't go search Google as much. They search TikTok. They search YouTube. They search these other platforms more so than Google. And I think over time, we're going to see, I think Google will probably still dominate the market, but I think it's going to be less and less percentage wise, because the younger generation, which is a big generation coming up, they like my kids, they're like, I can't believe that you're older than Google. Like, you were around before Google. You're so old, Dad. So they don't like, just commercials. We go to a hotel and turn the TV on. They're like, well, what is this ad doing in the middle of my show?
Yeah. I jokingly, my neighbor came over the other day and he had a newspaper. And I was like, kid, look at this.
Yeah.
What is this?
So retro.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time and you know, taking the time out of your day to be on the podcast today and enlighten us with all of your experience and your skills. I ask two different questions at the end of every podcast. So the first one is, if you could go back and give advice to your younger self, what would that be?
Go on an adventure.
Okay. A work adventure, a vacation adventure, any type?
I always ask people what pays your bills, not what do you do.
Yeah.
Go on an adventure. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
I've had some pretty big life-changing events through losing a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know when your experiment is going to end. So live life today like you want to live life. knowing that you might have a bad day, own it.
Yeah.
Have a positive mindset that, hey, I'm having a bad day. This sucks.
Yeah.
So my advice to my, you know, younger self would be like, own it, positivity, believe, you know, yesterday happened. It ended at midnight. Move on. Don't live your life. Don't live your work life.
Yeah.
Live your life.
Yeah. That's good advice. Okay. Second question. Do you have any books, podcasts, or leaders that currently inspire you?
Yes. Always take time for reading. I read, I carve out, and I hold myself to it, industry articles.
Okay.
You'll learn a lot about trends, things that are happening in the industry. Always carve that out. I love The Mindset Mentor.
Okay.
I love 10% Happier. Again, we talk to ourselves up here.
Yeah.
So horribly that we need to stop and think about how we're talking to ourselves, because that's important to how we come across in the world,
yeah,
too. But to really answer your question, I recipes. Hmm. It's amazing when I cook, I am thinking about marketing campaigns, mm-hmm, and how they integrate together.
Yeah.
You know, this ingredient with that ingredient, putting it together to make this integrated, beautiful marketing campaign.
Yeah.
Also a recipe. And then you sit down with your friends and family to eat it, your consumers.
Yeah.
Right. So I think cooking and family dinners and eating out with people in that format is a lot like an integrated marketing campaign.
Yeah. There's a reason that Zapier and If This Then That, they all call their internal flows recipes, right? You do this and then this happens. And so great. Again, thank you so much. How can people get in touch with you if they want to?
I'm on LinkedIn, okay. Del.Hudman, D-E-L-L-H-U-D-M-A-N on LinkedIn. Okay. Hit me up there. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. Okay. I love speaking at conferences. I've spoke twice at Etel West and Shop Talk. Mm-hmm. I love giving advice. I really like helping brands grow and win,
yeah,
in their own areas. So I am more than happy to just have a conversation.
Yeah.
Or if you need help, I do have my own consulting company.
All right. That sounds great. Thanks again, Del. I appreciate you taking the time and jumping on with us today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks so much for listening to the episode today. Listen, I know how valuable an hour of your time can be, and for you to take that busy time out of your day and spend it with us, it really means a lot. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider liking and subscribing on whatever platform you're on. And don't forget to leave a comment. Tell us what you thought about the interview. Ask us questions. Let us know what other digital topics you'd like to hear about in the future. We're here to add value to your life and elevate your digital presence online. If you'd like some help doing that, reach out to me at fireusmarketing.com. See you on the next one.